I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're psyched as I am!
Sports Radio 550.
Bills at 8-3 after their win over the Chargers yesterday. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Joined now by Eric Wood on the Westher Hotline. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
All right. Right, Bulldog? Good overall.
Yeah. I even might go real good.
How about
I'm
that?
I'm inclined to go great right now, but real good.
So this game yesterday, Eric, what was your favorite thing about it?
Man, hard to pick just one, but, I mean, just overall thoughts, my favorite thing is that the Bills are sitting at 8-3. They're a Hail Mary away from being 9-2, and they have a minus turnover margin on the season. Just shows that, I mean, they're a sound team. They have a lot of talent, and, man, if they shore up the turnover situation – they could be peaking at the right time here in December.
They did do a good job on Justin Herbert. I mean, he ends up with over 300 yards, but I mean, it took a Hail Mary, you know, at the end, which I still think is a fluke, even though it's happened in the last two games now that the Bills have played. I think that, like, I might be overlooking the job the defense did on Keenan Allen and Mike Williams yesterday. I mean, they did not get touched at all, really, by anything down the field until that Hail Mary.
Yeah, in that Hail Mary, the Bills have to be past their law of averages on those happening to them in the season. So that would be a good sign moving forward. But yeah, I thought the defense did great. I thought they constantly were around Justin Herbert. I think they had three sacks on the day. But Brian Bulaga ended up being an active scratch or an active non-participant at the last second, the right tackle. And I thought Jerry Hughes abused him throughout the game, rushing the passer. The stat sheet won't say it, only says a half a sack for Jerry, but I thought he was around Herbert a lot, which made him get rid of the ball maybe as guys weren't quite out of their breaks yet. But I thought the defense played really well, and this is a top 10 rush offense in the Chargers coming into yesterday, and they hold them to 70-something yards rushing. So, and that was a big emphasis heading into the bye week, was how are you going to shore up the run game offensively and defensively? And defensively, they did their jobs yesterday, and offensively as well, which I'm sure we'll transition to at some point.
I just like that you brought up turnovers like that. You know, it's not a number that I had in mind at all. Didn't even know it, that they're minus one, which isn't, you know, like minus 10, but it's still minus. And, you know, there's luck in that, but it's not all luck, of course. And really interesting to think about. I tend to think more about point differential, and this year the Bills have really not been that good in that category. Yesterday, it's a 10-point win. They go to plus 17 for the season. But the turnover thing, I'm gonna have to looking at it, but look up their games and see like what it says, if anything. Is there a trait there in terms of the turnovers, offensively or defensively, that when you point out that it's negative, really should change or needs to be changed?
Well, the defense in these last four or five games has really picked up their turnovers. I believe heading into yesterday in the last four games, they were second in the NFL in forcing turnovers. So starting to really force some turnovers at a great rate. Their sack percentage is getting up there as well, which is a good sign for the defenses, because even though they're giving up some yards, mentioned Herbert goes for over 300 yesterday, they're creating big plays, and that's been a great thing, and that's part of the reason, besides the Hail Mary, they've had success of late. But when you look at offensively, where these turnovers are coming, you know, I think yesterday Josh Allen throws one really risky pass, and it gets picked. And he got away with some of those earlier in the season. There's been times where those hit the ground, and yesterday that one didn't. He gets intercepted. The fumble by Singletary, you know, that, for me, it's kind of an awareness thing. You've already got the first down. You have over 10 yards on the play, and you're up by multiple scores in the fourth quarter. It's either two hands on the football or get down, one or the other. And that's a learning thing. And through the rest of the season, you would assume he won't repeat that mistake. And then with the center quarterback exchange fumble that the Bills ended up losing, you just don't see that a lot, A, in the NFL, and we haven't seen it all for Mitch Morse and Josh Allen. Maybe it's a deal where he goes from John Feliciano, from Mitch Morse to Feliciano back to Mitch Morse. Maybe that's something to that. It happened in the second half, though, and we didn't see any issues with it prior. So some type of a lapse there. But those are all correctable mistakes.
How many of those do you think you had, and were any of them your fault?
Well, it's funny. I probably had more with Ryan Fitzpatrick than anybody else, and we had the most rapport of any other quarterback. And I don't know exactly the reason. I don't think we lost any. I don't think I ever lost one of those throughout my career, mm-hmm. and I probably had, if I had to guess, I'd say three under-center snaps hit the ground.
And just, you know, is it ever your fault, though? I mean, really, you're probably – the quarterback pulls away too early or some other reason? I don't know.
I mean, I like to think that I put it in the exact same spot every single time.
So would I. But, you're the one on the phone. I would like to think that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's your butt.
No, but I thought Mitch Morse did a good job after the game taking the blame for it, and I always did the same thing in the moment, so I'll do it again now. I'm sure they were my fault in some way, shape, or form. Maybe I raised up a little bit. Maybe I sank my butt down a little bit too far on this map. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Could have been that. Eric Wood with us on the Wester Hotline. You know, Eric, this game for me, as it was happening, you know, before it started and then after, like, it's the Chargers make these strategic mistakes. I'd call them mistakes. You know, if they work, then they could still, the way I look at it, they could still be mistakes, but they can also work. If they want to run the ball on the last couple of plays with the clock running out on them and they score, then they scored. But Anthony Lynn, I mean, he seemed like such a stud during the offseason, George Floyd, and he said a lot of important things and really seemed to be a guy that deserved a lot of respect. But in terms of these games, I mean, this is like they have a certain propensity to lose games this way. And I don't know. I mean, you know them, right? I mean, I don't know what happens there, but it's not good.
Right, yeah. I mean, when you look at their season, 10 points was their largest margin of defeat all season, and it seems like the critical errors have showed up a ton for the Chargers. A lot of that gets put on the coaching staff, and a lot of that's going to fall on Anthony Lynn. I think he's a phenomenal man, a phenomenal leader. He gets respect from guys. When he took over as offensive coordinator of the offense that I was on in 2016, I thought he did a great job. And so I know he's a good coach. Situationally, the Chargers have made some bad mistakes this year. To your point, I heard it said, instead of the Chargers, it's generally said that they grabbed victory from the jaws of defeat. And with the Chargers, it's every week they grab defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, not this week. They were down multiple scores in the fourth quarter. But in a lot of weeks, they have the game won, and they do something bonehead to blow it.
Yeah, like, can you believe they punted before the end of the first half? I mean, just right, who is doing that anymore? Fourth and three or whatever that was? And just like they played there to not get scored on if they were to miss. It's like, it's way too fixated on the negative outcome. And I think in this league, when you're seeing teams, including the Bills, maybe among the leaders in terms of that transformation, seemingly acting differently. The Chargers' ways really stand out. So, not great.
Yeah, and to your point there, it's funny because he seems a little Stone Age when it comes to going for fourth downs. Like he doesn't own that book that a lot of the analytic coaches are using nowadays, which I like referencing at times during my college games and see if people know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like the card in blackjack. But when maybe he should go that way. But then you look, he hired a 35-year-old offensive coordinator who's doing a great job with this rookie quarterback. They're top 10 in the league in rushing and passing offensively. And Steichen, their offensive coordinator, was a low-level assistant at Louisville after I went through Louisville. That's not that long ago, I don't think. And so it's interesting that he can be, you know, kind of forward-thinking as far as bringing these guys in. He adapted to Tyrod Taylor in 2016, running a lot of read option stuff, but then still not necessarily getting with the trends of going forward at appropriate times.
Eric Wood with us here on the Wester Hotline, Mike Shope and the Bulldog as well. Eric, let's talk about, we'll stay on the Bills for it at the beginning here, but we'll talk about some of the issues going on in the league, the logistics here. And again, starting with that, the Bills' next game won't be played in San Francisco. It'll be played in Arizona. The league is scrambling here. Protocols are changing. Everything's sort of being tested. Of course, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and then with Denver. I mean, each one of these issues and storylines are interesting in their own right. Where are you on sort of your confidence for the rest of the year and maybe if something needs to change or what?
Well, I'm pretty confident this NFL machine is going to keep on rolling. And so if there's pivoting that needs to happen, you know, we may see that. I think they did a great job of shifting early enough where the teams and everybody could wrap their minds around this upcoming Monday night game for the Bills, moving their games to Arizona. I think that's a quick pivot. And without home field, you know, without a home field advantage anyways because of the crowd, it's an easy thing to do. You know, it's tough to see a team like Denver go out there yesterday and play without a quarterback. But when you and this is all stuff that I've been fed through the media as well, but it's like, well, if they were supposed to be wearing masks and they weren't, and that's the reason their quarterbacks are out, then how do you feel bad for them? You know, you got to go out and play. That's the hand you've been dealt. And when the NFL kind of set up this whole season, they didn't give themselves much wiggle room, then – you know, you're going to have situations like the Denver game yesterday that happened.
Could you imagine being in a situation where a guy, maybe you know him, maybe you don't know him. In this case, I would think there's probably were plenty of guys on the Denver team playing yesterday that didn't know who this guy was prior to Saturday night, maybe when they decided that he was going to play quarterback. It seems like... I mean, it's obviously a borderline an unprecedented, if not flat out unprecedented situation. But like, how would you? You're the center, Eric, and some Bills game comes along, and somebody who you don't even know, hardly, maybe not at all, has to play quarterback. Like, what did you think about that at all, knowing what Denver was going to go through yesterday?
Well, I'm putting more thought into it now than I probably did yesterday, thinking a little bit deeper on it. But, yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a great point. It's like, okay, if the quarterback position is the most important position of any team sport that there is, and we're going to roll out a guy who's, you know, not really going to give us a chance to win, then do I want to go out and risk injury here when I want to play the rest of the year when we are fighting for wins? You know, there's a lot of things that could go through your head. I know myself personally, I was, you know, I'm a company guy. You know, I'm going to go out there and lay it on the line every single week. If I was, you know, if it was in my cards to get hurt that game, so be it. As long as there wasn't something goofy that happened because of the quarterback that caused it, you know, I would have lived with it. But that's a tough position to play in when you are rolling out there and you're thinking, We legitimately have no shot of beating the Saints with their backup quarterback in the first place.
Yeah, I wonder what would have happened here. The Bills, we've seen from some trick plays, have, I guess, a few guys who can throw the ball that are not quarterbacks. Brown and Beasley, to name two. I know Mike Zimmer in Minnesota was asked what they would have done in this situation, and he said Thielen, and then somebody said, well, Thielen was inactive, and he said Kyle Rudolph would have been the quarterback. So obviously it's what you hope to avoid.
I've known Kyle Rudolph my whole life. He is not winning. They're going to get shut out if he's that quarterback for Minnesota.
1 for 9, 12 yards, 2 picks. Better or worse than that? That's what the Denver guy did yesterday.
Oh, I mean, if they made him play quarterback and didn't just dink and dunk screens and all that, maybe worse.
Do you think that the Ravens-Steelers game happening, as we speak now, we still believe it is, but it's not like 100%. Do you think that it happening is wrong? Do you think that this game should not be played?
Without knowing the whole story, it seems like it shouldn't be played. It seems like you would have too many guys out. But I don't know the whole story. Maybe they're saying the Ravens did. Maybe the Ravens broke protocol, and the NFL's response now is, hey, if you break protocol, we don't feel bad for making you play these games undermanned anymore. But at some point, does it go to the deal where they say, hey, maybe teams only get 15 games in. We'll go off a win percentage in the divisions, wild card, whatever it may be, to kind of protect some of these guys, especially if you start seeing a group of offensive linemen out for a team and you don't feel like you could protect the quarterbacks or running backs. It would lead to injury. I know that's something that they deal with in college. Maybe you push back the start of the playoffs, give yourself an extra little bit of wiggle room at the end of the year to delay some games, mix and match how you go forward. I'm not exactly sure the answer,
yeah.
But as cases rise, it seems like this is going to be an issue every single week.
Well, you're speaking to it here and in the Denver Point, and so are we. It's really hard to figure these situations out without really having any idea of who's to blame, whether there is blame. There may not be. There doesn't have to be.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Right? Yeah. Like, there doesn't have to be blame.
Right, and so that's where, you know, we can all sit around today and say, oh, man, poor Broncos. But if they were all supposed to be wearing masks in their meeting when they all got the contact tracing, and they wouldn't have got it if they were wearing their masks, but they simply chose not to wear them, that's your own fault. And you made the bed you now have to lay in. If people in Baltimore were breaking protocol, that kind of changes everything for me. It's like, well, then forfeit because you blew it. Like, this 2020 sucks, but you're getting to play football, and you're getting a chance to get a paycheck every week. You have to follow the rules. It stinks, but it's a four-month commitment, and you get another accrued season in the NFL. You get to live out your dream, and you get to play on Sundays. Like, make a sacrifice. If you aren't following the rules, I don't have that much compassion. If it's simply one of those deals where you did everything you possibly could, someone got it, we didn't know it in time. He had a false negative test. He was around people. Now we're all out. Like, that's a different situation to me.
Yeah. You know, I can't help but, like, at some point think about, Eric, like, how these teams are going to – if you start postponing games – like, I made this point a little while ago before you joined us. Like, the Steelers, for example, if the Ravens are given some leniency here and they get this game bumped to the end of the year, well, the Steelers are now scheduled to play Week 18. If something happens to them or an opponent, say the Bills, in a couple of weeks, there's nowhere to put that game now because the Steelers can't play two games in Week 18, and now you're talking about, what, Week 19? So I guess I would understand the league's resistance to creating that Week 18 maybe right before – maybe if they have to wait right till the end, then maybe they have to wait right till the end. But if you do it in Week 12 or Week 13, you might end up with more problems trying to piece the puzzle together at the end.
For sure, and we could honestly spend an hour on this if we wanted to because we're dealing with so much of this in the college level now. So, you know, with the ACC, they pushed a bunch of games back to the 5th, to the 12th. Well, Louisville and Wake Forest had their game delayed. Well, neither of those both those teams are eliminated from the ACC championship game. So they're making them play on the day of the ACC championship game on December 19th now. And so, you know, but then you go, you could say, okay, well, this team's eliminated from the playoffs. They're statistically, they're mathematically eliminated. Okay, well, we can kind of eliminate them. We can move other game times around to make it work. But then do those guys still get paid for the stadiums that are having some fans? What happens to their concession and ticket money? You know, there's just so many variables to every proposed scenario.
Tough year, a lot of ways. You probably didn't have that weigh-in contest with Richie Incognito.
At Thanksgiving,
you know what's funny?
Right?
I didn't have one against him because he just had surgery on his ankle, and we talked on the phone, I think last Wednesday, and we were reminiscing. I did do my own competition against myself.
All right.
And set a new personal record.
Let's hear the numbers, if you don't mind.
For weight gain, you set a personal record?
Yep. And so in the morning, I ran a 10K and then got in my sauna at home. So I was completely depleted. I weighed in at 245 and some change. And before bed, I almost forgot to weigh out. My wife reminded me. Before bed, I stripped down, hopped on the scale again. 260.
Wow.
Whoa.
15 pounds of food.
Oh, my God.
And you guys would have – most people would have seen this if my, I haven't been locked out of my Twitter for the last 3 weeks from clicking on a direct message from someone with a verified account, and someone ended up hacking my account, and I still can't get in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Well, that's a those are good numbers. I mean
that is wow.
You cared enough about the competition to just go it alone.
How long?
This year.
I know just from looking at you, like the work you must have put in from the time you stopped playing to you know what you know how you look now. How long does it take you to work 15 pounds off?
Honestly, I got up this morning, got a workout in. I was on the road throughout the weekend. Didn't hop on the scale at all. Got on the scale this morning. I was 246. So, you know, when I got on the scale last Thursday morning, I was probably down 7 pounds of hydration. So you kind of go from there. I probably hydrated 7 pounds back, had a few beers, a few glasses of wine, ate my face off, and there you go.
Yeah, it's not 15 pounds of food, but 15 pounds.
Exactly.
You know, cares enough about respect the game. He's not here to play against me. He's not here, but I'm still going to go ahead and run this race. So good for you. All right,
the
Eric.
The big thing was I matched his highest total, and so which was like 14 point something pounds. So I matched his highest total. So when we get to do it in person again, or he's not on crutches, we'll now we're fighting with victories for each of us.
Congratulations, I guess I'll say.
Thank you.
All right, Eric. Good luck getting your Twitter back.
I appreciate that.
All right. See you next week.
See you guys. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Eric Wood here. His appearance brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Jim's Stakeout, Western New York's best steak hoagies since 1981, and by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino 888-2020.
Dan Graziano, ESPN. Today's round of Ravens test results produced no new positives. There was one new positive. It's an IR player who has not been in close contact with others. NFL has given Ravens the option to fly to Pittsburgh tomorrow following more tests. I bet they take it. We'll see. I bet they take it.
Why not?
Yeah, I'll just maybe we'll take that option. Do the Bills have a Hail Mary problem? He said, casting his line into the pond. Do the Bills have a Hail Mary problem? 803-0550. What even is a Hail Mary problem? Oh, I know. Giving up Hail Marys in consecutive games. That's just how you look at that. Before we break and then get to sports and keep going here, a few words from my friends at Outlet Liquor. Stock up and save for the holidays. And, of course...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gift ideas. Do it all at once. Buy a case. The place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor. A couple of deals happening right now. 1.5 liter size bottles of Behringer, Main and Vine. Just $4.99 a bottle with the rebate when you buy a case. Canadian Club, big 1.75 liter bottles, just $9.99 each when you buy a case after the rebate. André Champagne, different varieties, $4.99 a bottle every day when you buy a case. Mix and match those varieties as well to create your perfect case. Outlet Liquor, check the penny section. Buy one bottle for the regular price, get a second for a penny. Doesn't even have to be the same thing. Great deals in there. Different ways to experiment, try new things. You know, you can justify that, especially when you're only paying a penny for the bottle. Curbside pickup available. For details, go to outletliquor.com. Just minutes from the Galleria, Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard in Depew. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet?
In the second half, we just said, listen, we're going to do whatever we have to do to win this game, whether it's running, passing, screens, draws, whatever. And whatever play is called, we're just going to have to execute it and just try to execute it at the highest level possible. And that was our mindset. I'm just thankful that we ended out with a W and not an L.
W's good, L's bad. Deion Dawkins, the Bills 8-3 for the second year in a row. Look at our lives. How much better really could they be going? I think that's the question here. Back-to-back 8-3s. What about the playoffs? No idea. no idea, right? We'll see.
They even got to 9-3 last year. So like if they win this game in San Francisco next Monday, that won't be a hey, the last time blah blah blah. It'll be last year again. 9-3.
Yep. All right, lines open, 803-0550. We talked to a couple fans on the postgame show. I don't think anybody today, so just want to remind everybody that's allowed. The update there from Joe included all the, or some of the details anyway, on the Pittsburgh-Baltimore speculation, the possibility that the Ravens could choose not to play. They have not yet traveled to Pittsburgh. They have not practiced since before their last game. And so we're going to have an interesting night here when it comes to this game. Adam Schefter is reporting about the possibility of the game being moved again, whether that's to Wednesday or after the season. We'll see. I don't know all the mechanics here of this, but Baltimore has an argument, and so do the Steelers. The league wants to get the games in. And we'll just see how they decide this, but you do need the Ravens to participate. I think you do need that,
right? If I don't know what happens if they were to choose, like if they vote to like, no, we're not getting on a plane, and they don't have the league's blessing, or maybe even their own organization's blessing. I mean, it's just the players just saying like, we don't want to go play. I mean, I would expect the organization to support the players. Probably, maybe almost definitely, but I don't know. It's such an unprecedented situation that I don't know what would happen then. Does that lead to them, if they choose to not play the game and the league wants them to, are they choosing to forfeit then? I mean, this is a lot. There's a lot to take in. If they were to move this game, it was supposed to be Thursday. They moved it to the weekend, and then they moved it to Tuesday. If they give them another couple days, right, was Baltimore supposed to play Dallas this Thursday?
Yes.
That already got moved, right? So if you move this game to where the Dallas game was supposed to be and then bump both Baltimore and Pittsburgh's games for week 13 to, like, the middle of next week, I mean, I don't know. There's just dominoes flying all over the place. I can't even keep track.
Pittsburgh hosts Washington next week and then is here
right.
the following Sunday night. So that break could be shortened if that's what we're looking at here.
Would the league ask them to play just you know, whatever. We're just work with me here. Ask them to play Wednesday or Thursday this week, Tuesday next week, and then Sunday night again? I mean, that's three games in, what is that, 11 days?
Maybe. Steelers then play Monday night. Following that, the Bills play Saturday following that, in case that game were to need to be moved. I wouldn't rule any of that out, necessarily. Fantasy-wise, it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. So I just tweeted this out. I have a game where I have Robert Griffin III in a super flex spot. I just moved him out for Jalen Reagor tonight. And that's a league where they don't give you, like, a replacement player option. So I'm worried enough about that game where I'm not even playing games with it.
Well, what a lot of leagues have done is give you the chance to announce a sub before that sub's game starts. And that's if the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game happens by Tuesday night. If it moves to Wednesday night, I feel like a lot of these sites are saying that that's where the line needs to be drawn. I don't know. Could you redraw it? But if you don't have this game tomorrow night, I think a lot of sites and commissioners will be like, well, that's tough. That's the year we thought we were getting, and that's what's happening. So now we're at that point. It's just like, you know, you're almost to the playoffs here in fantasy, and you don't want to have to lose that way. In the guillotine league that Joe and I are in with Jeremy, the guy who is in last, there's only six of us left, the guy who's in last has Claypool. And he said before yesterday's game started, he said he'll take Christian Kirk over Claypool. He is down by 4.4, and Kirk had 4.9. So if Pittsburgh doesn't play, he would clear the bar by half a point. I mean, that's just how it's going. You want to take anybody out for somebody to play tonight. You shouldn't. I mean, feel free. I get it.
Sure.
I get it.
Couldn't they also redraw that line, by the way? Wednesday to Monday night is less time than Sunday to Thursday, which they already do.
Yeah, so. I guess. If the game is Wednesday night, what do you want to do about it? Just count it?
Sure.
I mean,
but that'll be something that's, I would imagine, is not up to commissioners. That's a mechanism inside these websites.
That's right. That's how I would look at it. I don't want to just decide that on my own for leagues. You just tell me what we're doing.
Right. But those things are probably all set up to, like, you know, whatever. Like this is it. Midnight on this day of the week, these results are final. Hey, you won. Yeah. And a little confetti goes off. If you look, like, I don't look at the ESPN fantasy app on my phone a lot. I usually am on my iPad. When I do, like, sometimes it's 6 days after, you know, it might not be until the following Saturday that I open the fantasy app on my phone, and the first thing I see is, like, you won, and, like, some confetti. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was last week. Okay, thanks. It's like, so those things are set up to, like, do that, decide this is the end of the week, and I don't know how complicated that would be to change, but that's would seem like a pretty hefty programming thing.
Do you read the write-ups?
No, I don't. Are there write-ups?
You've never done that?
No. No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, the confetti, right? And then
yeah.
I don't know about ESPN.
I just close it out and just because I'm going in there because I want to look at something on my team usually.
You never read the recap.
No, I've never even looked at the screen long enough to know that there's a recap.
I love the bot recaps. Yahoo is really where I think of this the most. It's like it's just a computer writes the story of your game. And you know, sometimes you get spanked and it's very mean to you. But they write it like it's a sports article.
So okay, I'm going to have to try the recap on that then.
Yes. Yeah. So the latest is no further postponement yet, but the way the writing reads to me, Schefter and those guys, it sounds like they're almost expecting it. That's kind of that includes what he wrote an hour ago. It reads to me like they're expecting it, whether that's Wednesday. Can Wednesday work? Maybe. But it might end up affecting the Bills game against the Steelers. The Bills game against the 49ers has already been moved to Arizona. So anyway, I don't know. That's where we're at. Bills are 8-3 for the second year in a row. That's good. And I do agree with Eric Wood that this season will get to its conclusion eventually, somehow. But we could be dealing with like half games in the playoff race if they put off Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So we'll see. 803-0550 is our number. The game yesterday, the season, all of it here for discussion, and we welcome your calls. It is the final day for the Woodhouse Day Spa in their Cyber Weekend promotion. Today is the deadline for one particular deal. With the purchase of a $150 gift card, you will receive a bonus gift card of $25, Cyber Weekend only. For this, go to buffalo.woodhousespas.com, enter the promo code 25BUFFCYBER when placing your order, or you can do so in person, still time, 5933 Main Street in Williamsville. The offer ends today. We are buying experiences this year. We've got enough stuff. We're missing people. We're missing experiences. The Woodhouse Day Spa is here to tell you that that's what they're all about. And once the services become available again soon, then the gift card you're buying for the holidays is as good as ever. The retail store is open, but the services are on hold. Again, the gift card, of course, you know, will still work. So Cyber Weekend, today included, 25 Buff Cyber at buffalo.woodhousespas.com. The Woodhouse Day Spa. Shop local, shop online, save and relax.
Sometimes you make decisions in life that you're not sure if they're the right decisions. And with Brandon and I making this decision, it wasn't easy because not only to separate a player from the team, but also a rookie. And it's hard enough to acclimate oneself and transition from college to the NFL game. And now to kind of be a part has made it all that much harder. And we recognize that. And Jake and our staff have just done a phenomenal job of executing that. And that's honestly why we've done it. I mean, and it could happen to anyone, happen to us or any position for that matter. So it's another great learning lesson for us.
Sean McDermott is talking about Jake Fromm and how he is separate from the team to help prevent what happened to Denver. And the Bills seem really buttoned up in a lot of ways this year, you know, whether they're COVID-related or just football-related, anything else that might be able to be related, just impressive. 8-3 is the result, and it's versus San Francisco at Arizona next Monday night. We'll be here for pregame. No new news in the last 5 minutes here on Pittsburgh, Baltimore. I would like to tell you, and I think I was doing a little bit of this last week, but it is firm right now. I did not know before the season how I would feel watching the Buccaneers. I love when they lose. I love it. I did not expect to. I thought I might end up sort of getting into them. A lot of fun players, you know, they're definitely very fantasy relevant, and I thought I would maybe like it. I love when they lose. I just love it. I mean, Brady and Evans yesterday, I thought I was going to be reading more about this today. I tweeted when I saw it, and I haven't read anything about it.
What happened? I missed this.
After, I guess it was an interception. Tony Romo was great on the play. Like, Evans being a wide receiver doesn't know exactly what Brady wants from him. There was like a theme through the broadcast is that they just don't know what they want from each other. They're not there yet. Anyway, so there was a miscommunication and a turnover. And Evans is on – did you see it, Joe? Evans is on the bench. And Brady very calmly seems to stride up to him and is standing. Evans is sitting and Brady is standing. And Brady starts to talk to him. And nothing demonstrative, just he's standing there talking to him, seemingly calmly. And Evans is responding, but he never looks at him. He spoke, but his head is looking everywhere else. Brady is standing just to his right. He could almost hug him. If he reached out with his right arm, he could reach around. You know, he's that close together. But Evans doesn't even look at him once. I looked for it. He is just, his eyes are going all over the place as he's talking. And, you know, that's just not healthy. You see people, in any sort of situation, you see two people, right, and that's how they're talking to each other. The one person will not look at the other one when they're talking. Like, obviously, yeah, there's usually a problem.
Yeah, that on the surface seems to not, you know, not be something that would symbolize a real healthy relationship.
Brady then eventually walks away. Like they have the camera stayed on him, and the conversation ended, and Brady walked away. And they, you know, after that, Evans had two. He scored two touchdowns after that, I think. I'm not saying that that's really connected. It just happened that way. But yeah. I love watching them lose. I don't like the coach, and Brady's so easy to root against.
Yeah. He did go out to midfield and shake Patrick Mahomes' hand. Who was it? It was just last week, right? What was it?
Yes, Goff.
Was it Monday night last week? I'm sorry, who?
Goff.
Goff, right. Yeah, the Rams. And he didn't go out there. Yesterday he did. I noticed that as that yep. game was signing off and he was out there. And I don't know, Mahomes is afforded some level of respect that Goff is not. I mean, okay.
Right. Julian Edelman to the COVID list. Edelman's been out a few weeks, but he is now, he might have been back. I don't know, but he is now on the COVID list for New England. The Patriots pull out a win yesterday over Arizona. I think Kyler Murray is hurt. He's not running anymore, or he's running far less.
He ran five times total in the game. And one highlight that I saw really, to me, looked like a guy that did not want to get hit. Like, if he could avoid it. Like, he had a chance to make a DB miss or even, like, try to go right at him. And he just, like, I'm going to go out of bounds.
I guess it's close to the injury Josh Allen had, only with Allen it was his left shoulder. And Murray is playing through something similar to his right shoulder. And the last couple games, he has cut back on the running. Which, I mean, he's a different level of challenge if he's not going to run the ball.
It's his throwing shoulder. I thought it was his left too, but okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was. But I thought it was.
Either way, if he can't or is reluctant to run, I mean, that's a big... I mean, it's so much of... defending them. The Bills struggled with him on the read option plays. And if you maybe realize early on in the game, like, this guy's not keeping the ball, that's a big miss for them.
803-0550, our number. Talking Bills Chargers, a lot of interesting NFL developments, some on the field and some off. The Broncos, another one. We invite your calls, of course. Again, the number 803-0550. First, a word for my friends at Pro Squared Flooring Solutions. These are the guys who did this amazing job for me in my basement when we moved to our home. When this is years ago now, but the basement, we moved there completely unfinished, and I was given by my wife. She's like, "Well, you know, do what you want. Let's get creative here." Creative is an operative word when we're talking about Pro Squared, with a lot of their, as they call them, statement floors. They just make the room, and you see all kinds of different varieties at their website, prosquaredfs.com, residential but also commercial. These guys, it's a great range, and they do top-of-the-line work. 810-0200. Mine is called a Pro Squared Reflector Floor. If you were to inquire, maybe know that and see where you end up. ProSquaredFS.com. Call for a free estimate, 810-0200. Pro Squared Flooring Solutions, 810-0200.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.